Hola, bienvenidos a todos. Estamos aquí en el podcast. Hoy estoy con mi invitada Nayeli Russo. Este episodio va a ser en inglés, pero les vamos a tener la transcripción en español también, por si, ¿verdad?, desean leerlo en español. Les cuento que ya la edición de invierno está disponible, así que estoy bien contenta, ¿verdad?, de que vean esa edición y nos cuenten qué les parece. Y bueno, como dije, we're going to do this episode in English, and I am here today with Nayeli Russo.
Hola.
Welcome, Nayeli.
Gracias. Yeah, thank you.
Yes, and to get started, like always, I want to ask our guests to tell us a little bit about them. You know, who is Nayeli Russo?
Yeah, I love it. And I can do a little bit of Spanglish,
yes,
right?
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah, and yo hablo español, pero a veces algunas cosas me cuestan. Llevo ya 18 años aquí, parece mentira. Soy venezolana. Nací en Los Teques, una ciudad muy pequeña en Venezuela. I came here to the United States to actually learn English. I fell in love with the city of Pittsburgh. It has a way, you know, to just like you in.
Did you come directly here to Pittsburgh?
I did, okay. Yeah. So in Venezuela, yo estudié farmacia en la Universidad Central de Venezuela. Y estando allá, yo me di cuenta que las cosas estaban quizás no avanzando en una manera que yo me sentía cómoda. Y yo tomé la decisión de venirme para acá, para Estados Unidos, y tratar de aprender inglés, quizás volver si las cosas mejoraban, y pues la vida no siempre va como uno las planeó.
Exacto.
Pero hay que adaptarse, ¿sabes? ¿Qué nos queda? Entonces, estando aquí, me di cuenta que podía transferir mi título de farmacéutico a los Estados Unidos. Y me tomó 5 años transferir todo, empezar de nuevo aquí. Cuando me vine como au pair, as a nanny. And that was interesting, you know, like being a pharmacist, having a doctor degree, having a specialization, and then coming here and being a nanny. But one of the biggest things I always think about is means to an end, right? Esto es temporal. Estoy haciendo esto para que me lleve a donde me necesita llevar. Y cuando tienes esa mentalidad es mucho más fácil, you know, overcome the challenge, make the changes that you need. So that's what I did. In Venezuela, I actually was a musician, too. I played the oboe for the Venezuelan Symphony. And that was a very interesting thing for me, you know, having to adapt and to fail over and over again. Because as musicians, we practice and practice and practice our craft, and then you have 2 minutes to do it, and then you can mess it up, and that's it, you know? You gotta move on from the next thing. But that was very awesome. So I've been here for quite a while now. I transferred my degree, my pharmacy degree, and ended up working for Highmark here in Pittsburgh. And then I decided that pharmacy was not my passion. Well, I didn't decide it. I knew it for a long time. Sometimes you do things because you feel that that's the path you need to be on. My mom gave up her pharmacy path to take care of us. And so I felt this unspoken pressure to fulfill her dream.
For her.
Pero no era el mío, no era mi sueño, era el sueño de mi mamá, y pues yo decidí hacer un cambio. And I ended up going into strategy and doing a lot of work on personal development and helping leaders. And I ended up working for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I was with them for almost 5 years, helping them define their entire business strategy, helping develop their leaders. I'm still with them. I'm their leadership expert, coach, and strategic advisor to the president. So that has been my journey. I gave you a little bit of everything. Un poquito de todo. Aquí decidimos.
Perfecto, perfecto. Así nos enteramos un poquito de la vida, ¿verdad? Pues personal y la profesional. I was also going to say something really important that Nayeli mentioned is something that many immigrants have to deal with, right? It's like coming somewhere new and then having to, you know, do something that's like completely different, you know, maybe not what you exactly wanted. But I love how she put it, that you have to put a positive spin on it, because otherwise, you know, you're gonna be like sitting there depressed, like, look at mm-hmm. what I'm doing and mm-hmm. all that. So definitely the mind, right?
Yes.
Which takes us to what we're gonna talk about next, which is like, how do we motivate ourselves when we need to make a change?
Yeah, and I think, you know, change sometimes is forced upon us. Sometimes we identify the need for change. Rarely do we do. Sometimes we notice change is needed because the environment has changed, because the things that used to work for us don't work anymore. And it's very interesting you mentioned, because as immigrants, we learn very quickly that change is necessary and we are forced to find a way, you know. And I always think about, change is easier when you know yourself and when you're able to go deep and say, okay, who am I at my essence and at my core? And that essence of who you are doesn't have to change. You can adapt to it, and you can adapt to the environment and to the circumstances. And I always think about the difficulty of embracing a big change. The moment change becomes very difficult is when that change actually threatens your identity. Mm-hmm. That's when it becomes really hard, because now I'm not asking you to change a skill. I'm asking you to fundamentally change who you are. And that's really hard. One of the biggest things I think about, there is a book called What Got You Here Won't Get You There.
Mm, okay.
And it's an incredible thought, right? Like, what made you successful up to this point is not going to make you successful to the next person that you need to be, and how we find a way to reinvent ourselves. What made me successful in Venezuela was absolutely not relatable to what was going to make me successful here. However, the learnings did make me successful, right? So that ability to say, okay, I learned to be resilient because I had to move to a new country. I learned to actually be very dynamic in my understanding of shifting languages and, you know, staying consistent and committed and disciplined. Those are things I will carry with me. That's what I want my identity to be, not the things I did back at home, but the things I learned in that journey. And so when we're facing change, we have to think about, okay, why is this change necessary? And what does it mean to me? And why do I want to do it? If you don't have a strong why, change is never going to happen, right? But if you have a very strong why that is really pulling you up and saying, hey, that's what we call intrinsic motivation, right? Like, hey, for example, for me, I don't want to wake up at 4 a.m. every day. And when I don't, I think about my daughter. And I think about the change I want to make in this world for her. It's not for me. So it's a little bit intrinsic and extrinsic. And that's how I really think about, okay, I want my daughter to have a better version of me. And that means I'm going to challenge my own preconceived notions. I'm going to challenge all the ways in which I am thinking. I'm finding a way to not be reactionary or to not maybe do the same mistakes I saw my parents doing to me. And that requires intentionality. And that requires a very intense why that allows me to do that. And so I think the biggest thing that I want you to think about, if you want to motivate yourself, is why are you doing the change? What does it mean to others around you? We're probably better at doing things when we can connect it to somebody else, right? So for me, it's my daughter. That's my extrinsic mm-hmm. why of, like, I want her to have a world where she has equality, where she can grow up being anything she wants to be, where she's not limited by anybody's preconceived notion of what a woman or a Latina can do. And that fuels my fight, right? That makes the hard days easier because mm-hmm. it's bigger than me. Right. And so when we have to make those changes, we have to think about that why and then stake anchor on it. And if you can do that, heck, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to take you time. And you have to be aware of that, too. That's another thing I think about as well, is like, I'm always thinking about the path mm-hmm. and sort of thinking, OK, this is an uphill battle and it's going to take me time and I have to be patient and I have to be self-compassionate. We don't talk about self-compassion enough, mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. And in order for us to change, we have to give ourselves a break. We have to accept that's difficult, that is going to be hard, that is supposed to feel uncomfortable. Change is really hard. I don't care what anybody says, you know? It's going to be difficult. So how we say, you know what? It's okay for me to have a bad day today.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that bad day is going to define me. I'm going to find a different mm-hmm. way about it. So that's what I think about how to motivate yourself to do that. There is a book, it's my favorite book, I will tell you, because it's so practical. Mm-hmm. It's called 100 Ways to Motivate Yourself. And I listen to it every month because it's just so cool. He is great. Like the book, the way he writes it, and there's this very practical things that he does. But the biggest one that really hit me to my core, that I thought it was like the best thing ever, is that in one of the exercises, this is going to get deep, but in one of the exercises, he asks you to visualize yourself in your deathbed.
Mm, I've heard this one.
Mm-hmm. And to think about the people that you love mm-hmm. the most, they will come in there to tell you whatever it is that they mm-hmm. want to tell you before you're going to die. Mm-hmm. And that was so powerful for me mm-hmm. because that means now I'm thinking about my legacy. Mm-hmm. That means that I want people to say these things when I'm not there. And then I want to live my life every day with that. Mm-hmm. So if I can give you anything, is that little nugget. Go and get that book. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and we're going to get both that book and the other one she mentioned and any other ones that she mentioned. And we're going to put it in our notes for the episode too. And one thing I want to say that you were talking about, like having a why. And sometimes I feel for myself, sometimes the why is actually seeing kind of like the negative that's going to happen if I don't do whatever I want to do, you know, because like I really want to do it, but then maybe, you know, you're scared or something like that, and then thinking of, well, if I don't do this, then this is going to happen, and there's no way I want that to happen.
I love that. Mm-hmm. So sort of thinking about what will be the ramifications or the consequences of the lack of action. Yes,
correct.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah. And then that brings us to our second topic that we're going to discuss here, and it's overcoming challenges. You know, we've talked about it already a little bit, but, you know, so many things can happen, I think, and especially, you know, everyone has their responsibilities, you know, as adults. I think for us as women, especially, like, we're doing, like, 20,000 things at the same time, and I think it can be really easy for us to... you know, just kind of be overwhelmed with all those, you know, multiple things that we have to do, and then just kind of like put things, I'll just do it later, or I'll get to it at some point, or things like that. So how do we overcome challenges?
Well, I will tell you this. I think that failure is part of life. And the more we can accept that, the easier it becomes for us to just move on from them. I think oftentimes, even more for women, we think we have to be perfect and we think we have to be everything to everybody. And we think that, you know, we have to do all these things because there's expectations of us, you know, as immigrants, right? Like now we think we carry our country with us everywhere we go because they're going to say those Venezuelans do X, Y, and Z because of what I did or didn't do. And the first thing I would tell you is that we got to move away from that, right? You have to do the things that anchors you, that you believe is like, okay, this is my why, these are the things that I'm doing. But the biggest thing with challenges is they're going to be there. They exist. We can't move away. In fact, if you want to get better at math, we're going to give you problems. Mm-hmm. Problems are a way for us to get better at whatever it is that we're doing, right? We don't call, mm-hmm. like, we call it problems. We're going to give you a problem for you to solve. Mm-hmm. And the more we can do that, the more we actually become experts, the more we actually grow and become better humans. And so I actually like to think about the best way for us to overcome challenges is to accept that they will come and to see them as opportunities, see them as an opportunity for growth, see it as a blessing. You know, this is actually something good is gonna come out of this challenge that I'm facing right now. Where is the learning for me? What are the things that I need to maybe change? What is this indication to me in my life? And if we start thinking of challenges that way, then we can see them as actually something very exciting. Right now we can think about, okay, this sucks, I feel terrible about it, what's going on? Why am I feeling terrible about it, and what can I do about it in order to become better because of it? One of the things, and it's interesting, right, like our mind has an ability to let us frame anything in any way that we want. We think about this with our athletes all the time at the Pirates on how, you know, they can either think I'm anxious or I'm excited. It's the same feelings in your body. But however you frame it, that's what's going to happen. So if you start getting those little like butterflies in your belly, you know, you start getting tense, and instead of thinking, ooh, I'm getting excited, this is awesome, you think, oh my God, I'm getting anxious, this is going to be awful, I am going to suck at this. What do you think is going to happen? Right? It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. So the more we can reframe our mind to see challenges and setbacks and failures as opportunities, the better we'll be equipped to embrace them openly and to see how we can, that path is there. I'm just so blocked that I can't see it. So that would be my biggest feedback. I also want to talk about, I love failure. Mm-hmm. I have reframed my mind to think of failure as like I'm actually looking forward to it. Because if I'm not failing, I'm not putting myself out there. Mm-hmm. I'm playing it safe. I'm in my comfort zone, right? Mm-hmm. So guess what? When I came to the United States, I failed miserably over and over and over and over. I tried things. Even as I was a musician, I remember one time I was in a concert. It was in our town. It was full, packed with people. And I played the oboe, and you had the symphonies playing, and there is a point in the fifth symphony of Beethoven where the whole symphony goes down and the oboe comes up and plays a solo for like a minute. I got so nervous, I closed my lips, I go tense, and I closed my reed, and no sound came out. Mm. No sound. For what it felt to me like maybe 3 minutes, it's not, but you know when you're stressed. Mm-hmm. And eventually I got sound to come out and I eventually played the solo. And that was embarrassing, right? I was like crying after. I was like, I can't believe this happened to me. And so I go to, I think it was my mom who was in the audience. And she's like, what are you talking about? I said, did you not notice? And she's like, no, you know your piece better than anyone. And I think of failure that way. What feels like a huge failure to you, I bet you half of the world didn't even notice. Mm-hmm. And if they did, who cares, right? Mm-hmm. Move on, learn from it. And that moment I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna go there and play my butt off every day. Who cares? Nobody knows you the way you do. So you are way harsher on yourself than anybody else. So that's just my take on challenges and failure. And then you gotta be aware of your mind. Mm-hmm. Your mind can play tricks on you. I talk a lot about imposter syndrome on immigrants and minorities and women. And the reason I do that is because often when we are in places where they don't look like us, there's people who doesn't sound like us, there's people who doesn't look like us, we tend to think that we don't belong. And if you think you don't belong, your mind is gonna tell you that you don't. And all those thoughts, conscious, subconscious, you know, unconscious, which there's three different type of thoughts going on in your brain at the same time, they will all find confirming evidence that you are right. And so if I were to believe that I don't belong, I think everybody's after me, I think that everybody thinks I'm dumb because I'm not from this country, you'll find those things. So watch those thoughts. I do have a guide, it's called How to Control Your Inner Critic. And if you want it, I'll put it in there for people to download. Yes. But it's a great exercise to help you realize what you're thinking and how those thoughts are actually driving your actions.
Yeah, and just, you know, hearing you say all these things, like, it just makes me think of different experiences that I've had. You know, I worked in the corporate world for a long time. And during that time, I always wanted to do something on the side. Like, it was just, I couldn't stop myself. I always had to, like, I was extremely busy, but there I was trying to do, like,
everything.
Yeah, like, oh, maybe I can start this little company, or maybe, anyway. But, you know, many times those little companies, you know, or whatever that I started building, it didn't work out. And the reason why it didn't work out is because I was such a perfectionist, that, you know, and the moment that I would encounter a challenge or a failure, like, it would completely, you know, I would just be like, you know, forget about it. I'm not doing this anymore. And so I had to really just teach myself pretty much everything that Nylee said right here. I lived it. I mean, I had to tell myself, you know what, like, it's okay. And sure, this failed, but, you know, I'm learning. You know, now next time I'm going to do it better. And that sort of thing, like it really, and giving yourself that grace mm-hmm. really to say, it's okay. You know, it's okay. I'm going to just keep going. And it also reminded me, a good friend of mine once told me, because we were having a conversation about this, and she said, well, Maria, you know what? She said, maybe you can only give 60% one day mm-hmm. or 75%. And guess what? Maybe Maria's 60% is actually most other people's like 100%.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And, you know, thank her, you know, for saying that, because I'll never forget, you know, and I kind of like remind myself sometimes when I think this is not up to my standard or, you know, like I could, but sometimes there's deadlines and things like that. And you just have to say, it's done. You know, it's done. I did my best and we got to keep going. And it's amazing. You know,
I love
it's
that.
An amazing process.
I always think about imperfect action is better than no action at all. Right. And nothing is going to ever be perfect, because perfection is an illusion. And so, and it's in the standard of, you know, to your standard, what is perfect to you is very different to what's perfect to me. Right. And so having that understanding is so critical. And, you know, in fact, if you want to tie this to motivation, people think you need to be motivated first in order to act. And it's the opposite. You need to act in order to get motivated. Right? When people says, well, I can't work out because I don't feel like it. Guess what? I don't feel like anything any day, mm-hmm. but I have to get myself there. And even the days that, I'll give you a perfect example. I'm like, oh, I don't want to work out, right? But I know I need to because it's for my health. I go into the gym, you know, I go to the treadmill and start walking. Within 5 minutes, I'm like, oh, energized. Now I'm motivated. And then I ended up staying for an hour. And I was planning on doing 5 minutes, right? And so sometimes it's like action creates momentum, and that momentum gives you the motivation, and that motivation, because you acted, reinforces whatever it is that you're doing. And that's the cycle you need to get into, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want you to ever again think I don't feel like it. I think of it all the time. And I'm like, it's not about how I feel. It's what I need to do. And like, how do I get myself out there? And then I also want to say, because you brought a great point there. Grace is critical. Grace doesn't mean that you're not going to accept that it sucks, mm-hmm. right? I think about that all the time. I'm like, I fail and this feels awful and I hate it, but I'm giving myself a day and then I'm going to get up again, right? Like I'm mm-hmm. going to learn from it. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, I used to like, I would let it consume my thoughts and I would replay the thing over and over. And then I was
Same thing.
No, yeah. we can do this. Mm-hmm. What did I learn? I'm going to talk to somebody that I trust and just get it out of my chest. And then that's it.
Yeah, definitely. And so one other thing that is super important for people, you know, in our community is, you know, like our heritage. Like some people may feel that at work, like, do I hide it? I mean, these things sometimes are not conscious, you know, but sometimes you're like, well, let me hide who I am. And then there's like the opposite. Some people are like, I'm going to tell everyone.
Yes.
So how can we use that to our advantage?
Yeah, I love that, because I think when I came to the United States without me realizing it, I probably tried to hide it, you know, because we tried to perhaps assimilate and we ended up losing who we are. And we can do that, right? Like, I'm very proud of my heritage. I'm very proud of the person I was. I'm very proud of my country and what it taught me. I'm also very aware of the things that maybe I don't like very much, and that we all have, right? I find them in this culture and any culture. And I think one of the biggest things I realized early on in my career is that my experiences, not being from this country, actually having to immigrate, it was actually a competitive advantage for me, because I thought differently than the rest of the people in the room. I actually had experiences that none of them had. And I realized, like, this is actually a differentiator. This is something that can position me effectively, because nobody else in that room is going to be thinking the way I'm thinking. And by the way, that happens in everything, right? Every single one of us has a different story. And while we are both Latinas, that doesn't mean we actually have experienced the same things, right? Some of us that are Latinos have it much more difficult. I'm white passing, right? And some some of us are not. And there is so much diversity and change and different way of thinking and culture. And when we acknowledge that and we see that as an opportunity to showcase who we are, to own it in a way that is not overpowering to anybody or is minimizing of any other culture, but instead as a way to say, you know what, these things that I have lived, these things that makes me who I am, it's exactly the reason why what I'm saying has value. And when we do that, then now we can own our own power, right? And it's very intrinsic, it's very much who we are. And then we can come to our conversations with that top of mind. So when I'm nervous about saying something at work, I think about, you know what, I have to say it because they've never had the experiences that I have had, right? Or you know what, maybe I'm in a room full of men, which happens to me quite often when I was in sports. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to provide a perspective as a female, right? And I would say that and say, mm-hmm. Hey, listen, like just thinking here a little bit differently about this. So I think that we need to honor the person that we are. We need to honor our heritage, our stories, and then use that to actually fuel your success and to position yourself in front of others as a differentiator and a different way of thinking. I think that it's absolutely critical, and it also allows you to show up authentically, right? Yeah. I don't go around shouting out that I'm Venezuelan or Hispanic. I just have to speak and people would know. Así que bueno. But I do like to honor that. And then also honor the fact that I am a different person now. I am not the person that was in Venezuela. I am different. I am a Venezuelan American now, and I'm a blend of both of these cultures. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And I think all of us can probably think about it that way. How do I get to connect with others through my experiences, through my story, and through who I am?
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And our time is coming to an end here, so I don't want to go before Nayeli tells us a little bit about how you guys can get in touch with her.
Yeah, well, multiple ways. You can do, you can follow me on Instagram. I do a lot of stuff in there just from a motivation perspective, leadership. That's my expertise, is leadership and culture dynamics. But I'm always trying to post things that are relevant. My website, I do have two websites, NayeliRusso.com. You can go there. I have a lot of free resources, like a ton of them. Mm-hmm. Guides, videos to help you with your motivation, to help you with confidence, to help you think about how you transition into this space. You know, life is difficult. So the little help that we can get, I'm happy to give it to you. I have a YouTube channel as well where I post videos. I try once a week, but, you know... Life gets busy.
And that's right.
Yes. And I also have my website, russoleadership.com, where it's all about actually how to be a leader. And I focus a lot on those aspects of leadership, both in the corporate world and in your personal life. So all those channels and my LinkedIn space as well. Nayeli Russo everywhere. That's it.
And I will add all those links to our information here in the episode. But before you go, I just want to understand, do you do kind of like more personal one-on-one, or is it through like corporate groups and things like that?
Yeah, so I do specialize on corporate, right, organizations. However, I do one-on-one coaching, mostly for leaders. And so mm-hmm. That's kind of where my sweet spot is. One of the things I try to focus on is to say, hey, we need good leaders, and those leaders then will drive good culture, right? Mm-hmm. And once we have a good culture, then we can have strategy that drives results. And so it starts with the leader. So I do a lot of that work one-on-one with executives mm-hmm. primarily. But again, like I'm very open to hear you out and see if there is something that I can help with. And even if it is through my free resources or any of the sort, I'm definitely there mm-hmm. to help.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I feel like we can talk for like an hour or two. So yes, I feel like you're going to be back.
Good. I'm happy too. Thank you for having me. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Nayeli.
Gracias.
Gracias.
Bye.